madness in the fast lane. Lynn Marzulli, L.A. Marzulli, called me today to tell me about a video that's been put out from the U.K. called Madness in the Fast Lane. Now, as I looked into it today and I watched all the episodes, it was really kind of shocking, and it's news. It really is. And I wanted to see whether or not they were dealing with super soldiers or hybrids or whatever it was. And as Lynn called me today, we talked for a while about this video called Madness in the Fast Lane. Now, the way to get it, from what I know right now, is you can go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down to where we talk about daily updates, and you're going to find out that it's there's a link there to L.A. Marzulli's site. And when you link onto it, go down a little bit, it gives you four parts on YouTube video. It's pretty incredible. About two women, blondes, out of they were Swedes, and they're hit by cars. One's hit by a truck. They're fighting police officers. They seem to have a tremendous quickness, and they're able to beat down some of the police officers. They get hit by vehicles. They're taken to the hospital. They're okay. Eventually, one of them kills a man, and as I observe it, it seems to me that they are chosen ones. Satanic, ritually abused, but programmed inside alter personalities, demonstrating the quickness, the strength, the power, the ability to take on being hit by a car or truck and yet get back up. So it's called Madness in the Fast Lane. You can go to shatterthedarkness.net, scroll down, you're going to see where I mention it and have L.A. Marzulli's name. And just click onto it. Check out these videos later on today. It reminds me clearly of the many different times of engagement over the years. When there is one who is called a chosen one, S-R-A-D-I-D, whatever you know they want to call them today. But they have been, alter personalities have been created. They are programmed. They are demonized. They are powerful. They are quick. They are strong. And we have watched over the years where they have beaten down staff members, gotten away from people three times their size. They are quicker. And the ones that have it in them, that have been programmed to shoot or kill, we've experienced the attempted murder a number of times. As a matter of fact, a law enforcement agent who had sub-personalities, and we began to break in and began to deal with things and began to bring the healing of Christ. All of a sudden, one night, they show up, and it's not the cop. It's a sub-personality named Thane. And Thane is angry and in my face and said that, and they had a gun. They said that they were supposed to come and shoot me. They're just supposed to shoot me, that they've been told and ordered and maybe even programmed, but they were ordered to shoot me. That is, to come up, shoot me, and then go down and get away. And Thane, though, knew that we had loved this individual, cared, that all that we did was honest and true, that all the ministry we did. And I observed this behavior, seeing that they could use an AK, they can use a handgun, that they're quick and powerful, and basically will show no conscience. So many times, you can see it in the eyes. One of the indicators for us and what we teach. And we just put out, listen folks, we just put out that brand new how to detect a chosen one. That is, someone who has alter personalities that is programmed and that can become extremely dangerous. So let me just say today, welcome, September 17th, Friday evening, 6 p.m. to 7, supernatural hour, the providence of God. May God's grace and mercy, well, invade and embrace your life. We trust that God can do extraordinary things even right now. We heard that there was some trouble with the internet, so I'm not sure this is absolutely live or only partially live tonight, but I'm very sure that it'll be up in the archives. And I want to say again to thousands of those who've been listening, welcome wherever you're listening from and downloading from all over the world. And I shared in a broadcast a short update. It's on our website, very top of the website, shatterthedarkness.net. It's an update. It's an alert for today, Friday the 17th. It's only 9 minutes long if you want to get a hold of it later. But I'll give you a few things that are in there, actually, in that update alert. And very important because of the day that we're living in, but of what's going on even this weekend. Now, Madness in the Fast Lane, I observed again and again. I watched all of it, and it reminds me the women there, the blonde, specifically the one, really on part four, really take an observation of the eyes, of the entire bizarre character. It's like nothing would hurt them, and they just kept on getting up and going and going and going. In many cases, it can be a multiple that is kind of gone haywire. You know, they've gone off the reservation concerning the handlers and the coven, and personalities are taking over and they're coming out, but they can be extremely dangerous. We will be out late tonight, this weekend, dealing with one of the cases where a 14-year-old was abducted, ritually, horrifically abused, and then killed during satanic revels. Then during the ritual of demon revels, the same thing occurred to a 17-year-old. Again, just 15 minutes from my home. And they were taken out 30 minutes away from me, to a place on Futon Road, Deerfield Circle area. It's never been solved after 12 years. But the perpetrator, similar to what I saw again in this movie here, or it's partially like a documentary, news flash. Anyway, if you got a chance sometime today, especially if you're working with satanic ritually abused programmed individuals, you want to take a look at this. It doesn't have to make it, they don't have to look like a soldier to have subpersonalities programmed and demonized to be 5 to 10 times stronger than a regular human being. And for anybody that's biblical out there, remember Mark chapter 5. The guy was so supernaturally enhanced that when they tried to bind him with chains, he broke them. His bizarre behavior. You'll watch in the beginning, the very first part of this Madness in the Fast Lane track, you'll watch as they are trying to, you know, for their own safety, subdue and hold down these women. It reminded me again of the bizarre, shocking nature of battles that our staff went through, of attacks that occurred, of things that occurred, and of an attempted murder of one of our staff members with a military bayonet. Now, that's little bits and pieces of the dark, vast underground of hundreds of thousands of programmed sleepers. Yes, they are in Europe. Yes, they are in Russia. Yes, they are in England, the UK, all over the place. Yes, they are throughout the United States and Canada, Australia. And they have an agenda overall. Most of them don't know. And I'm getting emails from others, and matter of fact, someone sent me an email. And if I find it here real quick, I'll just share. I won't, again, share names or anything else. But once again, this tells me of the, what people have seen all over the place. And someone is inviting us to come to Minneapolis to speak, and they're talking about the richly abused. And in their discussion with me over this issue of the richly abused, they acknowledge that it's those who are amnesic, they don't even know what they are, that are the most dangerous. And I agree. If they are amnesic, if they are subpersonalities created that are sleepers, demonized, programmed, highly trained, well, when they're triggered and they come up, the other person, it's just a complete takeover instantly. And the subpersonality, with all of its programming strength, demonization, is out to do what they're programmed, that is, willed to do. And that can be to kill. That can be to go out and find children for sacrificial use. That can be to go and bring harm. It can be a lot of things, and we've done a lot of discussion on that. Well, for those that are listening brand new, this is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net on the web, and we're glad that you're here. It is a beautiful, incredible day here in Ohio, Canton, Ohio area, and that's why we're going to be out. And part of the reason, too, is to do our prayer mapping over the weekend. And most likely, again, we will be into Pennsylvania prayer mapping as we constantly lay out prayers over all of Pennsylvania. For all those in Pennsylvania, thousands and thousands of ritual sites, sub-basements, caves, and places, and just where literally thousands and thousands have been from the 50s on. You're talking now 60 years of the creation of programmed, well, in their view, to be super Satanized or in the satanic agenda, soldiers. Dark, dark. There's a dark moon rising, my friends. And so many of us know that. Want to welcome those in Russia, especially if there's any Psy warriors from the old projects in the 70s listening. Want to welcome those who are in Angola and those in Poland and those in Lithuania, those that have been downloading lately in a number of these places, again, China, other places, Mumbai. We want to just say again, welcome to you. To all those who are live listeners, to all those that download, again, in this hour, in which we only have about 47 minutes left, I pray that there would be an extraordinary work of God to the point of initiating revivals, showing extraordinary miracle, saving and healing and delivering, raising up thousands of great, powerful believers that will be able to demonstrate the integrity of Christianity, the integrity of the name Christian, and the power of the life that follows Christ. The kind of servant that we see in the book of Acts chapter 8. You want to talk about a supernatural life? You want to talk about a life that is led by the Holy Spirit, where Philip can quote that the Spirit told Philip, the Spirit said, go over there and stand by that chariot. An angel of God comes and tells him which direction to go. And this incredible chapter demonstrates, listen to all the believers in Christ, wherever you are, in Russia, in Germany, in France, in Spain, wherever you are. If you are a believer in Christ, then really the destiny, the design spiritually for ministry is really seen on an individual basis. Acts chapter 8. Could you imagine if millions of real believers were that wide open to God and that obedient to the word of God? And I'm going to say this, and I believe it's the words of Jesus, that whosoever believes in me, as the scripture says, whoever believes, they'll do even greater works. And they're going to do the Great Commission. And they're going to do what's seen in the book of Acts. So what you see in the most incredibly told or written down story, the Spirit of God gives us the story as an example. I believe this is not an apostle. This is a second generation believer. And he knows Jesus and he's filled with the Spirit of God and he's committed to the Great Commission. And because every ounce of God and of heaven's, of grace and mercy and power and blessing and leading and direction is on the Great Commission. Whether you and I, listen, there is no higher purpose in the believer's life. Everything else is an addition to. And we're going to talk about the Spirit of God today in the midst of guidance and teaching and leading and empowerment and in supernatural help. And let me say, as I prayed prior and sensing the Spirit of God and knowing His presence even now as we're engaged, that if you're a believer in Christ, then I really want you to know tonight is a great, and I'm excited about sharing tonight, the series we've done this week called The Physics or Theology of God the Holy Spirit. Monday night, it was simply welcome, eternal, uncreated Holy Spirit, his presence, deity, and personhood. Tuesday at 6, the Holy Spirit and the Savior of the world. Tuesday at 7, the global witness of the Holy Spirit, omnipresent, omniscient, omnipotent, pursuer of your soul. Wednesday night, the physics of the Holy Spirit at salvation, an unequaled spiritual and eternal experience. Thursday, we did the Holy Spirit Says, dealing with the Word. Again, I point you to the book of Hebrews. In the first few chapters, you'll see where the writer, who is in relationship to God, who has the Spirit of God in him, is being inspired, where the breathing out of the Holy Spirit is occurring. The Spirit of God leads him to write the Word of God. And as he does, he quotes the Word of God from the Old Testament. And he'll either say, and God says, or it says here, or he'll use the phrase, the Holy Spirit says, then he quotes the scripture. So on Thursday night, when we dealt with the supernatural, incredible, the Word of God, the Bible, the only book whose author is always in, on, and working through that book. It is the language of the Holy Spirit. It is the sword of the Spirit. It is the tool. And it's incredible to read, and it will bring the ability to believe if you read it. It will bring the ability to believe God when you know Jesus, to grow and develop and to learn. And as you would study Acts chapter 8, it's going to show you what you, I don't care where you live, I don't care where you are, whether you're rich or you're poor, question is, in one single lifetime that you have, and in the short amount of time that we have, we know according to Revelation 12, because of Satan knowing that his time is short, he's ramping up. He's furious. He's at work as never before in human history. We need to get that through our heads. We need to realize the onslaught that is here, the onslaught that is coming. And we need to ramp up. Not God. God's ramped up, man. God is ramped up. And there's nobody more ramped up than God in wanting to save and to heal and to deliver and show his mercy and show his grace. Because soon the hammer will fall, evil will end, a new age begins, the glorification of believers, heaven and hell, it'll all be over. So I ask you what side of the fence you're on, who do you know, what's the source of your spiritual life. I talked about last week Sylvia Brown and reading her terrible, terrible book that dealt with her writing about a kind of positive view of the false Christ. Let me say it again. Her book is like a positive view of a false Christ that can't save you, that doesn't exist, that can't do anything. And what I noticed in the book all the way through, this massive book on Christ, number one, she doesn't know him at all, doesn't show her love, doesn't follow, doesn't want to do what he says. There is no experience of the living Christ in her. And then I noticed all the way through, there is no experience of the Holy Spirit. Now, she will constantly make reference and tell the experience that a spirit guide named Francine came into her life or acknowledged its presence when she was 8. There were times that it took over and possessed her. That tells you immediately it doesn't come from God. And all the way through the book, her knowledge and presentation of the false Christ and counterfeit spiritual, you know, experiences are all demonstrating an absolute absence of the work of God the Holy Spirit. There's not one ounce of the work of the Holy Spirit there at all. Nothing. Zero. Now, the difference would be this. Open up the book of Acts and begin to read about the many different believers, whether it's Peter or Paul or Stephen or Philip, you begin to read. You read Acts chapter 4. Well, you read Acts chapter 2, or you read Acts chapter 1, the promise of the Spirit. Acts chapter 2, the power, the falling of the Spirit of God. And what occurs? Acts chapter 4, when they pray for more boldness and a new experience of the power of the Holy Spirit falls so demonstratively, so incredibly that it affects the physical. It shook a building. The power of the presence of God the Holy Spirit in coming in response to prayer filled the lives of all the believers, shook the building, and unleashed all the believers out there on the field to witness, multiplying numerous supernatural experiences in the saving of lives, healing, the deliverance, the power encounters, and the advance of the kingdom of God. And that's a powerful thing. So tonight, Friday night, the 17th, we're dealing with the title, The Holy Spirit in the Believer. Temple of God, the indwelling, the guide, the teacher, the helper, power, gifting, presence. And again, in these last days. And it's all contrasted to the enormous building up, ramping up manifestation of lethal, masqueraded as light, dark spirits doing hell's bidding all around us. As a matter of fact, I got a news report. Let me give you something here. We're doing this a little bit late in the show, but we're going to give you a news alert. So here comes the alert. And we put this out on the broadcast earlier, and we know that many in the iTunes and so forth, their iPods, they're gonna download that immediately, thousands of you. And this is an alert for all those who are working with the richly abused, all those who are. And I know that some listen to me that are saying, I'm still praying for the healing of past issues and things to come up. Just keep seeking the Lord. Some that are desperate to get out of their areas. If I had the funding and the ability and the way to bring them out, we would be bringing more and more out. And all I can tell you is wherever you are, like Paul and Silas in prison, just keep looking to Christ, praising God and praying, because God is able to bring an earthquake of a spiritual miracle. And all I can tell you is that's what we're praying, and we're trusting that God will enable us in a way to really, really help individuals get out. So many need to get away from the handlers. I know that. But the reason I'm bringing all of this up in this series tonight is that this weekend, there is no question there will be abductions. And I've said this to Americans, and this could be said all through Europe, England, wherever, that every single city in the United States has victims of satanic ritual abuse that are in their 50s, that are in their 30s, that are in their early 20s, that are now in the fourth generation of being 5, 6, and 7 years old. Which means that in every single city there's a coven, which means that they've been operative for over 60 years, which means that they've been doing rituals for over 60 years. Is it no wonder that there is darkness over your city? Is it no wonder that there is a sense of ominous presence over your area? So I think that that's a vital thing for what's going on. I think it's something we need to become more aware of. I'm telling you that in your city, wherever you're living, the United States or Canada, and throughout Europe and England, and most likely in Russia and other places too, if you've got the victims, you've got a coven, and you've only scratched the surface. The ritual sites, the powers that have been conjured and raised and have been received by coven members have been used to cloak their hiddenness, that have been used to attack and be sent out against churches and pastors, that have been unleashed to influence the political, that have been unleashed simply in the air, the idea of in the air. They call it dirtying the air. Now, when revival strikes, the Spirit of God strikes in response to prayer and according to the will of God, then it's as if the entire atmosphere is cleared. That's why thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands can get saved in a short time. That's why enormous power and miracle and extraordinary work of God can be done. So I pray that all of you are not being caught up in the America is over and giving up and sitting back and waiting for all the hell to be unleashed. Hey, let others have an ivory covered chapel beneath this big old church bell. But let us run a rescue ship 1 foot away from hell. That's what it's all about to the very end. And so I'm going to say, and I believe the Spirit of God will echo this in every believer's life. Fight for the lives of souls and to do the Great Commission to the very end. The pledge of the living Christ, unequaled in power, unequaled in supernatural help and ability, unequaled in grace and mercy, unequaled in protection, unequaled in any category. Jesus said in context of the Great Commission, and I will be with you unto the very end of the age. And as I've looked today, today is not the end of the age. It's not the end of the world yet. Okay, maybe next year, maybe 5 years, maybe 10. I don't know exactly. I just know we're close. But being a day away from the Antichrist's rise, or eventually a day away from Armageddon. Well, we're going to be out of here when it comes to Armageddon for believers. There's no question about that. There's not one believer left on the field. If you look at Armageddon, the field, there's not a believer left on the planet. Whatever your view of the timing of the catching up, the fact is there's not one single believer left when it comes to that final battle. As a matter of fact, if you're a believer, you're in prophecy. Let me give it to you. This should really jazz your spiritual life. It really should. It is Revelation 19:11. In this incredible revelation of the future, the descent of God in Christ, the descent of the King of Kings. And the prophecy from Daniel is that the entire fallen, Antichrist-committed world will mourn. They're going to shake in their boots when all of a sudden the dimension of heaven's door is open and there is a white horse and a rider. And in the descent of Christ here, guess who's riding with the symbolism of absolute victory? Clothed with white, the redemption clothes. The idea that you, as a believer listening to me right now, listening to this right now, if you're a believer, you're in prophecy. You're in Revelation 19:11. You are those armies of God. You are those redeemed individuals that have been glorified and are now traveling out of the heavens back down. And we just watch and cheer. And like in Revelation 19, the four hallelujahs. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Do some Bible study. Let God speak to you. What are the four hallelujahs about? And can you even echo them now? Listen, do you know the living Christ? Do you know the experience of the Spirit of God? Now I'm going to tell you something. Stephen Hawking and his co-writer to the book coming out, Grand Design, they do not know by experience in anything that I've read the living Christ, the living God, the work of the Holy Spirit. I've got a series that I'm going to do soon. I've already pre-ordered his book, and as soon as I read it, I will come out with a kind of an apologetic, the apologetics, the idea of a heaven's response, and bring the wisdom of God and a message in the context of that. And would love to have Stephen Hawking. I know some people think like, well, Stephen Hawking, man, he's the most brilliant man in all the human race, and he's untouchable as far as someone talking to him. I don't believe that. I don't believe that. I believe that anybody that is brilliant would include that their research and that their understanding, their science, their philosophy, their psychology, their economics, their political life, that in all of that, they will have been wise enough, like the wise men still seek him, to have come to know the living God, to know the living Christ. That would be our prayer in the midst of it. It always is. It always is. Why? Because one thing is absolutely for sure. One thing is absolutely like right now. God is not willing that one human being be lost. So if you're a recon specialist, a Satanist, a Luciferian, a military person, a governmental person checking out the show, welcome. And I say to you that God knows you, loves you, knows everything about your grin, your cynicism, your... There's nothing you can hide. So the message clearly, because you're on the field, is that God knows you, God summons you. And God uses a simple, message crouched in a talk show format like this. You see, it's clearly not that Russ Dizdar is anything. Just a vehicle. Just a sinner that has been saved that does know the power, the love, the help, the mercy, the grace, the extraordinary beauty and of God. And it's a personal relationship. It's not a religion to me. It's not about religion. It's not about ritual. It's about a relationship. And it's a funny thing that real Satanists who have demons, they recognize that. They know in our engagements over the years that the living God, the living Christ, lives in us. That's why for real demonized chosen ones and others, believers in Christ, real simple people, a farmer, a mechanic, a housewife, you know, someone that works at the factory, somebody that's out of a job, somebody that's home on disability, that simply believes on the Lord Jesus because God seeks all of us and they've believed the message. I mean, the contrast is clearly seen in John's Gospel chapter 1. Have you read it? It talks about the Logos, who's always been God, always has been, becoming flesh, about the creator of all that exists coming into time and space. And being among us for a little while. Chapter 1 is explosive. It is the science of God, the philosophy of God, the revelation of God. It's off the charts. The problem with science is it can't reach it. The technology of CERN and other can't reach it. Philosophers can't reach it. With the combined mental powers of every philosopher that ever existed, there's just simply something beyond finite human minds, human science, human psychology, human sociology, human, you know, all of it. All of it. So if you were in your deathbed, laying on a bed, knowing that you had a day or two to live, do you have comfort? Do you know where you're going? Do you know what's going to happen? Absent from the body, present with the Lord, do you realize that you would see? I mean, listen, if you're a believer, that you're going to see God face to face? See, those who have believed in and received the living Christ have the gift of the Holy Spirit in them. Now, for all the psychics and all the New Agers and all the remote viewers, let me tell you this. That real believers, just human beings, that's all. From whatever background, wherever in all the world, millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of human beings all over. And for 2,000 years, have experienced the same thing in receiving the living Christ. It's not about religion. It's not about rules. And ultimately, it is about a relationship. And you can read about this in John 1 where it says that he, God, came to his own, but his own did not receive him. But to as many who did receive, who did believe in him, he gave them the power, the right, the authority to become the children of God, born not of natural, has nothing to do with human genetics, but they're born of God. Literally, and I know some are going to go wild on this, it deals with being the genetics of God. in the spiritual sense, being born again is like the genetics of God coming in. As a matter of fact, if you go to 1 John, when it says that anybody who's a believer, anybody born again of God's Spirit, cannot go on living in habitually in sin. Why? Because God's seed, it's right, you can look up the Greek word, his seed, it involves genetic, remains in us. God's seed is in me. God's literal presence is what is the cause of being born again. New birth into direct, immediate, and eternal relationship with God through Jesus said he's the door, he's the doorway. You better believe that, but take a look at the cross. What a doorway he is. Well, I'm saying all of that in the midst of this alert to say this, that this weekend there will be those who will be abducted, they'll be taken. In every single city in the United States, Canada, all over in Europe, there are covens without question. And without question, millions that have gone missing and thousands will go missing and hundreds this weekend. Because on the 20th, if you look at the ritual calendar, and we've put up a link before, I don't know if we have it up any longer, but I'm telling you right now, and here's the alert, heads up for all the prayer warriors, for all the victims, September 21st, Tuesday, coming up just a few days away, midnight host, it's about blood ritual, it involves females usually, dismemberment of the hands of glory ritual. That'll be going on all over. And then the next day, feast day, fall equinox, when everybody's going to be seeking the powers. There'll be it's all about sexual ritual, orgy, so forth, any age. And the sad thing is, many children will be drawn into that too. So for law enforcement, heads up, may the Spirit of God give you a supernatural hand in leading you to break through to the ritual sites, break through to where the crime is. May the prayer warriors be unleashed in every city. May you be praying for the exposure of the covens and the bringing down of the perpetrators. May you be praying for the supernatural peeling back to be for covens and these kind of places to be dealt with. I absolutely believe that is the will of God. I absolutely believe that that is clearly the very thing that God did in Acts. I'm sorry, that God did in Ezekiel chapter 8 when God led the way. So it's very important. It's very important. By the way, I just got an email that came in. It is from Chuck. How you doing, brother? And says, "Hi, Russ. Did you catch the vid of the two girls in London going crazy, running onto oncoming cars and super strength from London? I saw it on L.A. Marzulli's blog site yesterday. It was discussed as a possible show of power from the Monarch or MK Ultra, you know, groups. Quite bizarre." And Chuck, yeah, I have. That's what I mentioned at the very beginning of this hour. I've been told by others that our live feed was not on, but it's on now. Either way, don't forget you can get the entire message. It's always recorded by the local Global Star, and you can get it that way. You can go to our site to the archives and get it also. So yes, I've seen that, and we're giving you the alert right now that there'll be preparatory rituals during the week. And Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday. And then come Tuesday is Hands of Glory, Wednesday, Fall Equinox, and Feast Day. So a lot of ritual stuff going on. And so I pray that thousands of prayer warriors in your cities, in your areas, and pastors and so forth. Why can't this be a part of praying in the church? Have we become so wimpy and sissy-oriented in the body of Christ that as spiritual leaders we're afraid that that might scare somebody? Do we really want a church that is led by fearful spiritual leaders to become fearful themselves? What an anomaly. What an absolute slap in the presence of the face of God, the Spirit of God. I'm telling you, that kind of leadership, that kind of fear produced in the body to say, I don't want to see anything, I don't want to hear anything, we just want to have a nice service, that's crazy. You're showing complete compliance to a fallen world, and you're quenching the power of the Spirit of God. You are literally blocking what could be done. Would to God that churches would be like the book of Acts, so absolutely supernatural that anybody coming would never be bored in any sense because of the manifest presence, power, work of God, the hand of God, the work. I mean, listen, I don't want to go where I'm bored. The body of Christ, if it seems on a Sunday morning or gathering, if it seems like there's been no hand of God, no work of God, nothing else, that it's all just words, words, words. And it's all been done to cater to a couple of visitors maybe and to cater to the marketing style. Well, then you know what? Laodicea stinks of a horrific grieving of the Holy Spirit, a quenching of the power of God. And Jesus says to that kind of leadership and that kind of local body that he's ready to spit you out of his mouth. That that kind of body, that kind of leadership is useless. Useless to God. Can you imagine God saying that to you? If you're a believer and you become useless to God, you know, those that will step out in faith, in obedience, and experience the full clothing and power of the Spirit of God to do the mission of God, you're going to find that heaven backs you. And local churches that do it that way, and instead of 18 seconds of prayer on a Sunday morning, you need about 30 minutes of sustained intercessory prayer for your city, for your nation, for your government, for one another, for family members, for the entire church, for the ministry, for the leadership. You need to use the spiritual authority Christ gave you, Luke 8, and pray against the dark side, pray against the encroachment, pray against the counterfeit, pray against. Listen, have you done this? Well, anyway, I have given you the alert, given you the other things in this session so far, and I want to spend the absolute rest of this time dealing with the issue of, well, the Holy Spirit and His work. And I want you to know that as a believer, I can, in all that I'm going to say, this has been the experiential side. It's what I expected tonight. It's what I expect in ministry when I go places or minister to people. We've got a number of deliverances to do tomorrow and throughout the weekend, and we're going to be engaged in ministry to see Jesus at work. Something that psychics like Sylvia Brown can't do, can't experience. She can't even cross the line. Counterfeit, temporary stuff that ultimately takes people from God can be done, but it doesn't come from God. Let me tell you something that we said this Thursday night. When any human being anywhere believes on the living Christ, here's where the function, the physics, the science, the operative work of God the Holy Spirit comes in. In ushering into your life, into your spirit, the very life of the living Christ. Now, listen, maybe many of you should contemplate, I mean, when I say contemplate, I mean meditate on the scripture. Go to Ephesians chapter 1, where it talks about we have been placed in the heavenly realms. We are seated in the heavenly realms with Christ Jesus, in Christ. So as the Spirit of God comes in, He takes the living Christ, omniscient, omnipresent, living Christ, and brings Him right into you. That's why you could say, you could be in Russia, you could be in Germany, you could be in Kentucky and say, hey, Russ, Jesus lives in my life. He's Lord. I love the Lord. And the Holy Spirit's in my life. And I could say the same thing. There's no diminishing. Satanists and Luciferians have to keep getting more spirits and more spirits. And when they unleash spirits and send spirits, they lose powers and they can lose stuff. And they want to get more and more and more. That's why there's constant rituals done. But the experience of the Spirit of God, number one in the believer's life, bringing to you the full presence of God, the presence of the living God actually in your life. John 17, even Jesus said in his prayer, he said these words, that I myself might be in them. And so that's why I want the psychics and the New Agers by the millions, and I want those who don't know that what you experience is real. I experienced those kind of things prior to coming to Christ, but on this side of the fence now, I've experienced that Jesus Christ is alive. He lives in my life. He works in my life. No, I'm not talking about a week. I'm talking about 35 years of knowing Jesus, the living Christ, the same one that actually died on that cross and shed his blood, the one that was actually buried as a dead man. But as prophesied, as Jesus said, he was by the physics, the power, the function, the exertion of God the Holy Spirit, Romans 1, raised from the dead instantaneously. He didn't get up slowly. Instantaneously, this extraordinary miracle that involves the blasting apart of the enemy and agony of death. Death has been defeated. Now, the philosophers might talk about it. The scientists might try to research it. It's out of your hands. But you can experience the resurrection power. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead comes to live in every believer. And when Christ does descend and the Spirit of God is exerted in catching up, the dead in Christ rise first, we are alive are caught up, the glorification. And for the scientists out there and the physicists out there, 1 Corinthians 15, when it says in the twinkling of an eye, in a flash, the Greek word is atomic. So it's on an atomic level or beyond that. The immaterial exerts his presence into the material world anytime he wants. This will be collective worldwide, every single person who ever believed in God, who ever believed in Jesus. And everyone that's alive at the moment that occurs. Some have called this from the Latin rapture. From the Greek word harpezo, it's used of Christ, Revelation 12, where he was snatched up by, and the word means to be snatched up by a superior force quickly. The dead in Christ. Listen, check it out. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The dead in Christ will rise first. We who are alive will be caught up. Harpezo. Now, how's that going to occur? Look what it says in the context. The angels will be involved in the announcement, this massive sound, and then the descent of the living Christ. All of hell knows it's going to happen. Did you know that? Every demon, Satan himself, knows this is coming. That's why they are guiding the way to globalism. That's the entire, listen to all the soldiers, the entire reason for Armageddon is Satan amassing the technology, the troops, the weaponry, the abilities to aim the weapons into the heavenlies and seek to stop the descent of the Son of God. Check it out, Revelation 19:19. You don't have to just listen to what I say. Look up those scriptures, and you're going to find that Revelation 19:19 is all about that. And if you're on the field in that day, you're done. You're over. To the Satanists, Luciferians, and super soldiers, if you don't get out now by the extraordinary miracle and grace of Jesus Christ, you're left. For many of you that are New Agers and psychics and into the mystical side of spirituality and into the supernatural, and I would say to the driest toast atheists, have you never felt the love of God by the Holy Spirit, the power of God by the Holy Spirit, the extraordinary out of the heavens joy inside of you? See, the experience for the believer is the presence of God the Holy Spirit, the living Christ within. The fruit of the Spirit spoken about in Galatians, the book of Galatians. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. That's all about the Spirit of God bringing about his full manifestation. What is the full manifestation of the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Christ in the individual that believes in Christ? You know what it is? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Wow. Now, there's been believers that said, well, I've got this problem. I'm not experiencing all that. I know the Lord. What about sin will grieve the Holy Spirit? Unwillingness to be, follow Christ and everything can quench. You'll put out the Spirit's power and fire in your operative in your life. It's true that a backslidden believer can shut down things in their lives and become very carnal and very dead. An entire church like Laodicea can do that. And there are evidences. If you have the evidences of Laodicea, then your local church is Laodicean, and you're in danger. And the good news is God, Jesus, offered them grace. He offered them a way out. Even in Laodicea, Jesus said, if anybody hears my voice, and will open the door. Because he's standing even at the door of the Laodicean backslidden. If you're a believer that Satan is convinced you could never have another day with Christ, you've listened to his lies too long, haven't you? Renounce the lies, take up the offer of the Savior for a new day, new grace, get out of it, and let him wash you, cleanse you, open your eyes, refill you, and set you back to the wounded in Christ. How long? How long will you stay there, bleeding? I don't care if you got to drag yourself to your Bible, into the presence of Jesus, and start just worshiping and unleashing praise. Did you know that God inhabits by manifest presence the praises as you begin to worship, as you begin to praise, as you begin to just unleash, just worship to Jesus? Do you know what begins to happen? It's like the Holy Spirit falls all of a sudden from the inside out, from the outside in. There is a spiritual engagement. Listen, Luciferians don't feel this, and psychics don't get this, and New Agers don't get it. Man, it is the embrace. It is the joy. It is the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Man, it makes me sometimes stand there. I can barely sing the words of this song, Lead Me to the Cross. Savior, I come, quiet my soul. Remember Redemption's Hill, where your blood was spilled for my ransom. Everything I once held dear, I count it. All is lost. Lead me to the cross, where your love poured out. Bring me to my knees. Lord, I lay me down. Rid me of myself. I belong to you. Lead me. You know, the cross is where it was all done. Listen, if the demons and the spirit guides and the ascended masters and the great white brotherhood and the entities that say they're aliens, if they all know this, they hate the cross. If you're a believer in Christ, you have the Spirit of God. He will teach you as you open up the Word of God. He will help you. He will remind you. He will guide you. He will use Scripture. There are Holy Spirit charismatic given giftings. Now I'm going to encourage you, since we only have an hour, to try to share with you. I can tell you about the time the Holy Spirit just put it in me to go to my grandmother's house. He just put it in me, a burden, an urgency. I went to my grandmother's house, 79 years old, from old Yugoslavia, Dalmatia, Croatia. That day, by the leading of God's love, I led my grandmother to Christ. I led my grandmother to Christ. Oh, it was many years ago, about 30 years ago, that I led her to Christ, and that she died the next year with me standing right next to her. She looked at me and no fear. She knew she was going to heaven. She knew. She told me She taped every item in her apartment with little names, everything, whether a soup can or a bread box, who it goes to. You know why? She knew she was leaving. She had the Spirit of God. Did you know that the Holy Spirit inside of you, Ephesians chapter 1, have you read it? The deposit of the Spirit of God inside of you, the seal, the mark, is the guarantee of what is to come. Dear sweet believer in Christ, do you know the presence, the power, the work of the Spirit of God? I remember a day that we prayed and asked the Lord to give us names of people, and a young couple that had come to know Christ, they came to the class, and he looked up and he said, the Holy Spirit tells me John. And we went to go visit John. That night we led John to Christ and led his girlfriend to Christ. It was awesome. One lady that night felt the Holy Spirit said, go to her father, who was a hardened, arrogant man. Go try to talk to him one more time that he's dying. So she took people with her, and when she got there, they poured out prayer that God the Holy Spirit would prepare him. They easily led him to Christ. This lady was so excited, she got out of the car, and it's like dancing around. She was so filled with joy. Do you know the power of the Holy Spirit? I pray, as Jesus breathed on the disciples, I pray in the name of Jesus, every believer be filled, be revived. May the Holy Spirit fall in power. May you experience Holy Spirit guidance. Yield to Him, listen to Him. Any place you feel you've neglected Him or grieved Him or quenched Him, stop it. Apologize, repent, trust Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, may the Spirit of God lead any lost individual listening to Christ. Receive the living Christ and you receive the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. You'll experience God operative in your life. Because of the cross, Christ shedding His blood, this is the physics of God. This is the science of God. This is the heart of God. This week we've been talking about God the Holy Spirit, and I barely scratched the surface. Man, there's times in worship I just am overwhelmed. I can barely even sing the words. God's presence is so great. There are times that I pray, I say, Holy Spirit, lead me in prayer. And the prayers are led in deliverances. I have felt the Spirit of God tell me what's really going on. How many demons are inside? God the Holy Spirit, greater is the one inside of us as believers in Christ. Not because of anything we did. It's not because we are superior. It's because God is. God is superior. The demons know it. Satan knows it. But I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to fight to the end. Are there any believers who will stand in the sight of God, be willing to be clothed with the fire of the Holy Spirit of God, will be able to be the kind of believer the world will know is for real? Acts chapter 8 shows one, how he infected an entire city. How much can you do? How much can you get done? By the supernatural hand of God all over you. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, you can look into the book of Acts and see it all over the place. You can experience exactly what the believers were experiencing. And I simply pray in the name of Jesus Christ, whenever this is listened to, whether live right now or later on down the road, whatever country you're downloading this archive from, I'm asking in an extraordinary way, just like in the book of Acts, when Paul prayed over little objects and they took them out. And I'm just simply praying for this broadcast. Father, stretch out your hand, save, heal, and deliver. Show your demonstrative power in Jesus' name. We are at the end of the hour and we are grateful to be here with you. This is Russ Dizdar, shatterthedarkness.net. Hey, remember us in prayer. Remember us in support. Good night.